This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. We're going to mandate. Get on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus over there.
Is this second week in a row in studio?
I love it. Hey, before we get started, I want to thank a couple of our sponsors, TheraWorksRelief.com and HewlettPackard.com, HP.com/doubt. All right. What's going on?
Who did I just see? I saw somebody I knew who they were.
Oh, let's see.
The last guest that we had in here was Brandon Novak, who you might know from Jackass. And
that's why.
Viva La Bam.
Yeah. That's exactly how I know. From Jackass. Do you know, in Armenian, the word is esh for Jackass.
Esh. It's just esh.
Esh. You know, what an esh.
I got a couple arm. Oh, no. I think those guys are Mexican. I got one armo at the other shop, though.
Yeah, you got a shunt, don't you?
I got a shunt who goes by Sean, which I appreciate. So I got to tell you, like, anybody who makes their name easier for you, I have sort of two spectrums here, which is I have guys. If you're a guy named Steven and I call you Steve and you correct me, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I've got a very close friend who's a lawyer, and I swear, for the first year and a half of our relationship, he used to scold me about that. And I said, that's a problem.
It's a weird thing. There's that on one side. Then on the happy side is the person whose name is Shant, and he just goes by Sean because he realizes he's living in a dumb white man's world, and it's going to make it easier.
Exactly. Gevork, don't make me try to figure out. Just call yourself George.
Then there's my sister, who's somewhere in the middle, but a little closer to the Steven guy in the annoying department, which is Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, and then somewhere around her 32nd birthday decides it's L-A-U-R-Y-N.
Right.
Which I'm not sure what that is. By the way, if I'm ever building a race car, I do not want your help because you're the person that burns a lot of calories on shit that doesn't make a difference. I want guys in here making it lighter, faster. More, better horsepower. But I don't want people doing things needlessly.
We gotta spell the name garage differently. Yeah. Well, my mother was intuitively knew that because she used to say when people couldn't pronounce the name when I was growing up, it's the only word in the English language that rhymes with asparagus. So, Garagus. So she actually would go, she channeled her, you know, longtime elementary school teaching.
In that vein, and, you know, everyone's got choice words about Mike August.
Yes.
But Mike August's last name is Tamarilla.
Really?
Yes. And his middle name is August.
Okay.
And he realized...
I've known August for 100 years and I didn't know this.
This is the beauty of Mike August. He's a proud Italian who's not proud at all and doesn't give a shit. He gives a shit about his time. And so every time... And I've traveled the country and the world with Mike August. He comes right into the hotel. He walks right in the front. Reservation. Mike August. Like the month. And they go, dip, 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 and they hand it to him. He knew Tamarillo would be like T-A. No, it's not Tamarillo. No, it's Tamarillo, but it's two L's. T-A. He was a time waster. Yeah. For him. He judged it early on in his career as a time waster. And if he went with Mike August and he simply said, like the month, everyone would pull up his reservation, and there'd be no screw-ups. And so that's what he did.
Wow. See, that's impressive. Because having the last name Garagus, which my daughter now has decreed is Garagos, because she likes it better the way it is alliterative with Tenny Rose, Garagos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But my father was literally going to change the name to Georgian or Gregorian when we were kids. And just to make it easier, same thing, a Mike August-style deal.
Well, it's kind of an interesting thing if you look at it in just sort of like an overall gestalt and which way the wind is blowing in terms of the country and everything else. Back in the day, immigrants would come to this country and the Japanese guy named Isawa would just call himself Sam. Because it's like, I want to get a job. I don't want to hassle people. I want people to pronounce my name. Now we've come full circle and everyone's making up their own crazy names and unpronounceable names.
My grandfather, Autumn, just called himself Al Lyon. And I said, why Al Lyon? He goes, because he says, I'm not going to teach them my, you know, nobody's going to say, you know, Arslanian or something like that. Who's going to, how long am I going to take trying to explain Arslanian to some
Now, everyone's got all the time in the world to coach everyone else up, but they don't realize is all they're doing is pissing people off.
Well, they could take like Villagrosa and you could meld a couple of names together and invent your own
Villa
name.
Villaraigosa.
Wait, you had something you were going to tell me. Was it TheraWorks?
Oh, it was. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you about that. And then, I don't know, do you got any breaking news for this show?
I may have some breaking news about midway through.
Okay.
Because it depends. When I get in the groove with you, then it's like, okay, they're going to fine me $500,000 or some other thing. I almost don't give a shit at that point.
All right, we'll look forward to that. I'll tell you about TheraWorks Relief. I have it right here. Millions who suffer from muscle cramps in your legs, feet. Relief is finally in sight. TheraWorks with an X. Relief is topical foam that's clinically proven to relieve muscle cramps fast. Daily use with TheraWorks Relief even prevents muscle cramps before they start. Dr. Drew loves this stuff. You can see him talking about it on TV. My kids get a kick out of it when they see him on TV.
Right, don't they?
Yeah, but I'm like, let's get back to watching Kimmel. He's a real celebrity. You don't even need a prescription, everybody. Just minutes to apply. Absorbs quickly. It really works. TheraWorks Relief. You can get it today at CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens pharmacies, and TheraWorksRelief.com. So wherever you want and everywhere. TheraWorks Relief with an X. Okay. So,
Let's start talking NFL. So, did you see where the president tweeted about basically how lame the national anthem policy was this week?
Yeah.
Then
Jerry Jones
came out and said that they're going to stand during the anthem, and he basically telling Goodall to pound sand was the way I kind of saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Goodall.
Roger Goodall, who's the commissioner.
Said it like Jane Goodall.
Yeah. his wife's name is Jana. Did you
really?
Know that? Yeah. I think his wife's name is Jane.
She must get called Jane Goodall all the time instead of Goodell. Yeah. Anyway, Goodell or whatever. Goodell. All right. So he told her to pound sand.
Yeah, down there. And then Stephen Jones, who is Jerry's son and he's either GM or president or he's an executive with the Cowboys, said that if they don't comply, that he will cut them. President then retweeted basically an attaboy to Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm under a protective order, so I have to be very careful as to how I phrase this. But the protective order, I take great offense at because I think basically it is muzzling me for a variety of reasons. One of the things that I've thought about is if I see what I consider to be a conspiracy that is violative of the law, does a protective order mean that I can't talk about it, that I can't be a whistleblower on it?
Let me use this analogy or example. Your case in Yuma where the bad cop killing
Mesa,
and Mesa, sorry, and they're like, we're not going to release the video, the cameras, we're not going to let the footage out there, and you go, why not? And they go, it could be disruptive or cause too much anguish or taint the witness there, blah, 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 but it's all, we don't want this video out. Right.
Now, you're supposed to be in the. That's exactly right. And that was one of the things. And they refused to give it to me unless I took it under a protective order. And I said, I'm not going to take it under a protective order.
Right. So isn't this a version of that? There's two. In my world, there's like three parts of the law. This is legal. This is illegal. And then there's another part, which we're seeing more and more these days, which is here's what we don't want you to do, or here's what we don't want to have to do. So let's see if we can use the law to prevent either one of these things from happening.
Right.
Which is not the videotape is something they don't want seen.
Which, by the way, is paid by the taxpayer. The body cams were bought with your tax money if you live in Mesa or that county.
Yeah, and it's why They're more half day Fridays before 3 day weekends ever, because guess who's deciding on the half day Fridays? The teachers who don't want to show up. So as long as you give the people in power the choice, you know what I mean? So the people who don't want the videotape to come out are also the people in charge of whether the videotape can come out. So how's that going to air?
And this is what, so there's this whole national debate, obviously.
So same with you and the gag order.
Right. I've got here this week, we've got playing out on the national or international stage, stuff that I know what really is going on. Between Jerry Jones, the president, the anthem policy, why they're doing all this. And they've already tried to admonish me. And they've got, and there's the other thing about this system that I think is rigged. And when they do a collective bargaining agreement, where the NFL does, now you have a situation where if you're a player, you want to play, you've got to go forward under the collective bargaining agreement. In the collective bargaining agreement, they agree on an arbitrator. You get an arbitrator. Now, if the arbitrator rules that there's collusion, in the hypothetical situation, guess what happens? The collective bargaining agreement disintegrates. So, and guess what? The arbitrator has no longer got a job. So you're asking a guy to make a finding, hypothetically, of course, that there is something that's going to put him out of a job. I mean,
right.
Does that make it? And at the same time, whenever I want to talk about something that I think the public should know, that this is not about military, this isn't about this, that, or the others, that this is a partisan political issue, and I've got proof of it, but I'm under a protective order, we can play it out so people don't understand what's actually happening behind the scenes with the Cowboys and the president and everything else, because now they've raised the stakes and they want to impose these incredible financial sanctions on me. So I'm toying with that. I haven't decided what to do yet. I haven't decided whether I'm going to I've actually got some of the smarter kids who work for me looking into the way to kind of weave through this, because I don't think that you can put me under a protective order. Maybe one of the legal eagles who listens to us will have an idea. I don't think I can be under a protective order if I think not only is it important to the national debate or the international debate, number one, but number two, why am I complicit in what I think is a crime?
Well, and also, I guess number three, I think what you're saying is you're an American first,
right,
and a lawyer second.
Yeah, exactly. And give me the choice to lose, you know, that's a very good way to put it. That's kind of somebody else was saying this in a different context.
Armo third.
This week, I'm Armo fifth or sixth. We can get into how disgusted I am with a organization I've been affiliated with for 15 years. That's a whole different topic. For 15 years. But anyway, go on.
So two things.
I'm pinging around.
I will. All right. I get you. You're energetic and you're passionate. So let me see if I can.
Well, and nobody else I talk to in the immediate, you know, world or circle has as much fun talking about this stuff as you do.
Well, I'm fascinated by it, and I'm trying to listen and kind of distill it, which is two things you're saying. One is, yes, I have a fiduciary duty to uphold. On the other hand, I'm an American, and I should have my shouldn't have my speech denied. The second thing you're saying, or maybe you were saying at first, which is, why should these guys get to get out there and create this propaganda machine through tweets, through discussions, through the news, through everything? Why do they get to get out there and create all of this and sway popular opinion, perhaps, or at least paint a narrative when I know the nuts and bolts and I got a gag order?
Yeah.
If I have a gag order, they should have a gag order. But instead, they're out there swaying public opinion, creating a campaign for something that I know is wrong and I'm not allowed to talk. So either I should be allowed to rebut and speak myself, or they shouldn't be able to speak either.
I couldn't agree more. And then the answer, you know what the default answer is? Well, they're not under the protective order. Why? Why are they not under the protection?
Why? Yeah, they're involved as well.
Their Cowboys are a team in the NFL. Why is it? It's already been reported. I've done a deposition that lasted many hours with Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones was one of the only honest owners. If I could go so bold, or I shouldn't say that. I will say that I think he spoke the truth. How about that? I won't contrast him with anybody else. I'll just say that I think, especially towards the end, that he spoke the truth. Is that a violation of the protective order?
Does he speak the truth in your mind? Now, obviously, when he's telling everyone you take a knee and you're fired or you're cut, you raise a fist, you're cut, you stay in the locker room, you cut. His truth doesn't jibe with your truth, perhaps.
Correct.
But he speaks the truth because he has F me money. Like, hey, I'm 79 years old, I got more money and I can spend. And what the ultimate, people think F you money is the ultimate. It's F me money.
Exactly. I'm still trying to get to F me money.
I'm trying to get F me money. Right. I think my family's beat me there. They're there. But I haven't got to F me money. That part where you can do things that fucks yourself over. If you had F me money, you would just go out.
I wouldn't even be thinking about this.
You'd speak your mind right now and they'd fine you $1 million and you'd go, who cares? I have F me money.
Exactly. That's why you can tell that I don't yet have F me money because I'm on the fence here. But
greatest attorney rapper ever. F me money. I would hire that guy. You'd be out of a gig with Chris Brown if that guy really existed. Sorry, Mark. Decided to hook up with F me money. He's one of the best.
Oh my God. And you know, the interesting thing is I think they did screw with Jerry at one point. In fact, I think he hired somebody to defend him because he was threatening to sue the commissioner. And it was more having to do with when Papa John got involved and everything else. I mean, there's such a great backstory to all of this.
Papa John's now suing Papa John to get back.
Right. Once his chairman sued back. We need to replow that ground just for a minute. I still can't get over it. And I've talked to so many people that I hire a crisis management firm. And I'm trying to just trot out stuff in kind of a bullshit session for how to deal with a crisis. And then they dime me out and say I used the N-word. Seriously? That's what
it seems like a hazmat team that shows up with a handful of asbestos and SARS. Like, I thought you guys were here to clean this shit up. It's crazy, right?
Right. It's beyond crazy. You know what else is crazy? Podcast one, Dennis Miller option. No holds barred opinion. Dennis is no holds barred, didn't he?
Love that guy.
Yeah, the best. He had Gary Sinise, Bo Derek. Who else did he have on? Didn't he have you?
Yeah.
So check out the Dennis Miller option at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Remember, rate and review, right?
We love Dennis. He was on my show this week coming up.
And Dennis, in a weird way, I always pay homage to him. The genesis of Reasonable Doubt is like 6 degrees of
separation.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on in the NFL. Maybe more.
Week because I'm going to be in Ohio this coming week. And then that's the news that I think will break on Friday.
What's going on with the president and his lawyer recording him? And how does that work? And now it's interesting because when they said, well, it's not illegal because New York State is a one-way state in terms of recording, I thought, oh, that's right. When we used to do crank anchors, it's a great, great thing. They said, we do crank anchors. I said, yeah, we're going to do crank anchors. We're going to call businesses. We're going to call them. We're going to record them. And then at some point, you have to get a clearance to air things. But in California and, I don't know, 35 other states, you can't record somebody without them knowing it. You must tell them we are recording you. And if you tell them that, then we can't effectively do crank anchors. So,
right.
I said,
Although I've got, there's enough holes in that you could drive a truck through it.
Well, because, I needed you at the time. So yeah. I said,
I would have just said, fuck you. There's no expectation of privacy. You're a business. It's open to the public. So why do you?
Yeah, but tell that to the lawyers at Comedy Central. Right. By the way. One, I never really got. I mean, I'll double back for a second. But one of the most insane conversations I've had, you know, if you are in this business and you'll get into these arguments with folks about, well, you can say pissed off, but you can't say I'm taking a piss. And you'll go, what's the fucking difference? And they'll go, well, one is crossing the line and the other's fine. And you can say titty bar, but you can't say tits. Like, it's just this craziness. It's craziness.
It is. It's insanity. And it's people who have absolutely no appreciation for nuance or language.
Crank Yankers was called Prank Puppets for months. That was our working title. Like when Jimmy and I were sitting around, we're going, all right, we got this guy lined up for Prank Puppets and we're writing more scripts for Prank Puppets. And you have to call everything you're doing something. You won't know what project you're working on.
Right.
And then at a certain point, we had a call from the lawyers at Comedy Central and they're like, you absolutely cannot use Prank Puppets. I said, why? And it's like, oh, it implies malice. And we got busted. We're wide open, liability-wise. And I'm like, prank puppets? And they're like, yeah. I had the nuttiest, like, screaming match.
I don't even know where to begin with that. What was their analysis?
Well, here's what they do. They always bullshit. They always bullshit. So they do this. It's the funniest one ever. They go, look, when I heard that the show was called Prank Puppets, I had some reservations, like serious concerns as an attorney. I had to sit back down in my chair for a second. And I'm like, really? And then they do this one. But I didn't know for sure. So I walked it down the home. I walked down the hall and I went to Mort Johnson's office. And he's one of the best attorneys I know. And I asked him. He turned white. He almost fell over.
And Mort has been around forever. Right?
Then I started screaming, either you're fucking lying, which I assume you are. You didn't walk down the hall. Mort did not clutch his heart when you said Frank. Or Mort's a total fucking pussy and doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. There is no way he clutched his pearls and had to sit down and got the vapors and started fanning
himself.
Somebody
had to get their sense of this.
I said, the word is prank. Prank as an innocent childish prank and then puppets. It doesn't mean anything. We went, argued. And I kept screaming, like, what is going on? Am I taking crazy pills? And at a certain point, I was in a hotel room with Jimmy. I was screaming into a phone, a speaker phone. I just kept screaming, you guys are fucking nuts. Like, why? I don't even know what's happening. And they kept explaining how mortified they were over this title and how they would be open to liability and anyone could sue them and they'd win. And I was like, if this thing ever sees the inside of a courtroom, you should fucking pray that they bring up the title of the show is called Prank Puppets, because nothing could sound more innocuous and softer than Prank Puppets. Puppet. And eventually, and you know, it was bad because when Jimmy tells you to calm down,
then you know
that's bad, because he's usually outside. The one that's screaming at everyone. And we just said, fuck it. And we like hung up on him. And then Jimmy just came up with like Crank Yankers something.
To me suggests, you know, masturbation.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Yeah. The point is
you yank your crank.
I'm still never able to figure out why Prank Puppets was bad.
Prank Puppets is all I can think of is sock puppet, but I don't get it.
I don't understand.
But so you know we were unable. Really
we were unable to call. So they said calls cannot emanate from
California.
California. The deal with anybody you call, it needs to be a two-way state. It needs to be a state like New York, who you don't need to tell the person you're recording in New York, in Alaska, in like Virginia, in Iowa. Like there, we had a list, obviously, because those are the only states we call. But you must make the call from Nevada. And then I was like, well, just get us a Nevada number and like pipe it into my place in Studio City. You know, like I'm thinking like it's a stupid rule. We'd have to get on a plane. We'd have to go to Nevada. We'd have to record. But New York was one of the places we could call.
Well, there's a number of problems with that. First of all,
one party consent.
Yeah, there one party is. Consent. But where there's a number of places or problems
and
with
Cali,
this.
According to Gary, is an all party consent.
Right.
So
all party.
But you're can't record Chris Brown
unless
without him knowing it.
Well, there are exceptions. I can record somebody if I think that they're, I forget what it is, it's either extortion or evidence of a crime. There's certain little, and I remember this, I haven't looked at it recently, but I remember at the time when we were defending Michael Jackson, we had recorded the, or the investigator had recorded the, one of the family members who we thought was going to extort. And sure enough, we were right. And so I remember getting questioned by the DA. I testified in that trial, not
once,
but twice.
Can you share that, though?
Yeah.
You could give that to CNN?
Yeah.
So I guess in that case, you can. In this particular
case. This is what my immediate reaction was. First of all, you must know that you're going down. If your lawyer, when you're a lawyer, has released a tape of you recording the now president of the United States, you must figure, okay, my law license is not worth spit, because I don't care if somebody was saying on CNN with me the other night that the New York City bar has an exception where lawyers can tape their clients. The New York City bar had done an opinion or an ethics opinion. I haven't seen that, and I'll accept that the person, what they said was true. But to me, that's, I'm aghast over that. Second of all, where was the client of the president? Was he in Florida or not? Was that also a one party state? So you got to do that analysis. Third of all, you're not one just because your head is in the noose as a lawyer. You take a vow, at least you do in California, to zealously defend your clients. And that duty survives even when they're no longer your client. You can't hold them up to ridicule. You can't denigrate your client. You have a zealous duty and obligation to your client. Even if the client fires you, I mean, and I've been in that situation, I don't say negative things about the client. You can't. That's unethical. So why do you think releasing a tape to put you in a good light is helpful? I don't understand
that. Well, I'm really interested. And now, look, by all accounts, Cohen's not a fine attorney. So at least that appears to be the evidence. And this substantiates or corroborates that thought that he's not a good lawyer. But
well, let me just tell you, there was a case in California out in the Palmdale courthouse, I believe, years ago, where a judge ruled that it was a bad marriage, and so therefore she was not going to enforce the marital privilege. And the Court of Appeal had some fun with that, reversing it, saying, you can't just say it's a bad marriage and therefore there is no privilege. So even if he's, and this is, somebody had made that argument. Well, he's not really practicing law. He's not really a lawyer. He's a fixer, this, that. No, he is a lawyer. There was an attorney-client relationship. Just because you may be discussing something that is not legal does not give you a free pass to do so. And look, I'd be just as angry if this were a left winger as a right winger. There, you've got a duty as a lawyer to zealously defend and protect your client.
Well, it also makes me wonder how does this benefit him? I mean, I guess the people that are going after Trump are by nature not fans of Trump. And if you go ahead and proclaim you're not a fan either, maybe that'll make them go easier on you. But the thing about releasing of the tape, we already know he was with Stormy Daniels, and we already know he cut her check, or somebody, Cohen, cut her check to the tune of $130,000.
Right.
This is a playmate who he's paying off again.
And by the way, you've watched this interview of hers. I think she's the only one she's done is with Anderson Cooper. Well-spoken, smart, intelligent, presentable, beautiful woman.
Right, but we're assuming that the...
As if every guy who wants Trump fuck me money isn't saying to themselves, if I had that kind of money, I'd be banging everything that walked.
Could somebody have a... If Charlie Sheen ever becomes president, no need to dig up a tape of him explaining that he had sex with a prostitute. He wants to pay her off and yelling, uh-huh. That's what Charlie Sheen does, or that's what Charlie Sheen did. Now, maybe now he's running the country and he has some thoughts about tariffs or taxes or something. But you don't need to pull up tapes. You know, if you said to me, hey, there's a recording of him talking to a lawyer about paying off a playmate, I'd say, I would assume there's 10,000 hours of that somewhere.
I was going to say, it's all in Marty Singer's office.
Right. So why is this a revelation? I guess my feeling is, if you're the lawyer who releases this in my magical world where Charlie Sheen is the president, 6 years from now, I'll give Trump two terms and then we'll have Sheen come in.
I'm just going to reiterate what I said before. I drove cross country in that tour bus, and there is no question that he gets reelected in 2020. None. I've been in every Flying J pit stop, truck stop from here to Oklahoma City, and then from Oklahoma City to New York. No question he wins.
Unless, you know, John Kennedy is, you know, mates with one of the characters from Game of Thrones and comes back as a super fire breathing candidate. I don't know who they're putting up there.
Kamala Harris?
I don't know.
Like Cory Booker?
Just
Eric Holder?
No. Okay. So here's my point. My point is if Sheen is in there and I'm Sheen's attorney, and I'm trying to get in the good graces of everyone on MSNBC or the people that are prosecuting Sheen. The tape is sort of somewhere between no duh, no shit. I don't know what the tape, if we had tape of him saying, listen, you got to get me more Ruskies and you got to give them more rubles and we got to pay off these Russians and get more votes. By all means, that is a tape that's going to move the needle. This guy, the serial philanderer, is with another model. I would be confused if he wasn't with another model.
So that everyone understands, when I was channeling somebody's reaction, that's exactly what I'm saying. This is nothing. There's a reason that his approval rating is going up, because I don't get this. And one of the things I don't understand, I was confused, in fact, asking Tenney this question. The counterintuitive nature of Cohen, who had a lawyer that I knew of, I don't know him, but now has got a lawyer who I do know, Lanny Davis. And Lanny Davis, you may remember, was one of the great defenders of Bill and Hillary Clinton during Whitewater. And if I'm not mistaken, Gary can check this out, I think Lanny went to law school with Hillary. And that's the lawyer, I think, that is now currently representing him. I don't think that Lanny is doing criminal defense, so maybe he's doing crisis management. Is that right?
The crisis management, I'll get to, but you were correct that that Hillary and Lanny met at Yale Law School.
So the interesting twist to this, and this is, I'm building on your point just now, Adam. So you curry favor with the left, I suppose. There's that calculation. However, DOJ is presently under siege. And they're hardly populated by a bunch of left-wing. I mean, this is not Eric Holder's DOJ anymore. This is Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein's DOJ. Why does the guy who was doing battle against you make sense in the Southern District? Except maybe there's a Lanny Davis connection. I should have called Lanny before this show and found out.
Well, so
there's so many cross currents here that I haven't waded through.
In the mind of this humble podcaster, I keep thinking, so my thing is I try to graft logic on to every piece of information I hear from a non-homeless person.
Right.
So when I turn on Anderson Cooper or whomever, I think, well, there's a learned guy who's smart, who's intelligent, who's whatever. And then he comes out and he goes, we got breaking news. And so what my mind does is I go, well, okay, this must be something. He's a smart guy, seems sincere, seems
he's
educated.
Very sincere.
He seems sober, and he just said breaking news. And so I went, okay. And then it's like, there is a tape of the president talking before he was a president about paying somebody off. And I go, all right, here we go. What else? And then it's like, no, that's it. And then I think, well, how is this helping? I don't get who this is helping or who it's hurting or even what it even is. And what I do think, and I do agree with you, I did not travel through the heartland and the place that places that John Cougar sings about. I just think the average Trump voter assumes he's a philanderer.
Right.
Assumes he gets married and then has his dalliances with actresses and playmates in a weird way, approve of it because that's what you get to do when you're a rich dude who owns a few golf courses and has a private jet. I think it's quite the opposite, as you expressed earlier. It's that's what rich dudes do. They get to bang playmates while their wife is back at the apartment in New York.
Exactly.
It doesn't hurt their stock any more than it hurts any celebrity stock when they go, well, he was quite a ladies' man back in the day. You know, Steve McQueen, he had his dedicated wife, but when he would go film a movie, he'd always hook up with the starlet. And no one would cross their arms and go, I'm never watching another Steve McQueen movie. They go, man, he was the king of cool, wasn't he? So it doesn't seem to hurt the stock. I don't think it's ever... If you really break it down, anyone who liked Clinton, as in Bill Clinton, anyone who liked Kennedy or any of the Kennedys, from politicians to celebrities, the philandering label, we love to trot it out and act like it's got some teeth. I don't know. Has it hurt anybody? I mean, Martin Luther King liked to play around a little. Does any follower or fan of Martin Luther King go, well, not anymore, because I found out that he was with we don't care.
You know what I'm going to talk about before I answer that? Because that is a good rant.
Thank you.
The HP Elite. Gary, you aware of this?
Stuff's great.
Yeah.
It's kind of, the price point isn't as high as like something you would find over at Apple or at Adam's movie studio, you know,
right.
Production company, but it's, you know, 20% higher and it's 100% more power. It's great for anyone who's trying to create videos or do podcasts, stuff like that.
So this is basically a upgrade from a consumer grade to a business class.
Correct, but unlike with an airfare, you're paying a much, much lower increase. You're paying, you know, 15-20% more for a lot more.
Do you get better performance?
Absolutely.
Longer battery life?
Every time.
Do you get elite premium service and support?
Sure do.
24/7?
All the day.
365?
All year.
Wow. Dedicated service from the U.S.-based specialist. Wouldn't you like to have 24/7, 365 service? I would. Security software features that keep proprietary data safe. Go to the choice. It's a go-to choice for graphic designers. Serious performance with a streamlined user experience. How many hours did they test this?
Oh, thousands. Tens of thousands.
I think 115,000 is what I've been told. And you get an extra 10% off select 8th generation Intel-powered HP PCs with the code DOUBT until September 17 at www.hp.com/doubt.
So, we can't figure out what Cohen's up to, but...
I don't understand this. I'm perplexed by it. I don't get it. I think it denigrates lawyers. I think it makes... This is like a bad lawyer... It's like the people's worst expectations of lawyers run amok. And I don't know why anybody cheers it on. I don't care who the client is. And look, I've been on the receiving end of thousands of people praying for cancer with some of the clients I've represented. But that doesn't mean that I get to throw them under the bus because they're unpopular.
I do wish we could come back to a time where the pundit would say on MSNBC, what this lawyer did was unethical, unwise, and sort of an embarrassment to all lawyers. Now, that being said, let's go over the material. They sit there and go, yeah, he had every right to put that tape out. You know, it's like, okay, You sound like hysterical. You sound like a crazy fan of a football team, and your star running back just punched somebody out in an elevator, and you're screaming, she was getting on his nerves. Like, please denounce the action,
right?
And then you can explain why the guy shouldn't be kicked out of the league.
Exactly, and just be an honest broker about it. Why do you have to just? I don't understand where you've got to, where you have the talking points, because then I don't think you help the cause, number one, because you lose all credibility. I mean, most people, I would think, would find it offensive if their lawyer is recording them. I just don't understand.
You know, the guy who I would listen to if he had something to say on one of the many topics we talk about is a guy like Alan Dershowitz, who says, I voted for Hillary. I'm not a Trump fan. That being said, this is wrong that you blah, 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 blah. Because you go, okay, that sounds like a very genuine. I don't know if it's, I can't tell you if it's cosmically the truth or not. I can tell you I'm getting this person's unfettered opinion about this X, Y, or Z situation.
And when he summers at Martha's Vineyard, apparently he's lost all of his social invitations, is what he says.
Yes. My feeling is somebody says, I'm full-blown vegan, but that cow was slaughtered in a humane way. I tend to believe that person because they go, here's how I voted. Now here's my opinion.
Right. And by the way, there is a whole, I hate to always reference this, but the whole study of logic has what are called fallacies. And that's one of the things you learn is fallacious arguments, how to recognize them. One of the, for you know, is an argumentum ad hominem, where you attack the person, not the argument.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's just nothing but fallacious reasoning, and it just drives you crazy because a well-educated high school senior who's taken a logic class, and I took one from Dr. Marzak, who was one of the great teachers of logic, he would go crazy. I mean, you know, he used to give you extra credit if you could cut out a fallacy out of the newspaper or out of an op-ed piece back when there were newspapers and people actually held the newspapers up and we used scissors to cut them. And you would get extra credit. I could do that ad nauseum today.
Well, so it's this, where are we in Washington then? How's the Trump case going?
Well, there's an interesting one with the, this is kind of a sidelight that didn't get a whole lot of thing, and Gary and I were talking about before we got on the air. Gary has called it the emolumentals club or clause of the Constitution, and there was a, I believe it was a, what's called a 12B6 motion to dismiss. They were suing Trump for violating the constitutional provision against receiving emoluments. And emoluments was, if you look at the history of the language, back in the day when the Constitution was written, generally meant a profit, an interest, some kind of remuneration. So if you were trading on that as a politician, constitutionally that was prohibited. So the court ruled, and now we'll see what happens. Just this past week, what day was it, Gary? Do you remember? I think it was with the week in review, that the lawsuit survives, and I think it was specifically predicated on the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. And think, that, right?
I think that is correct, and it appears it was this past Wednesday, the 25th of July.
And so the argument was is that by him having an interest in the Trump Hotel, which is in D.C. and basically walking distance from the White House, that when foreign powers stay there and spend a ton of money there, that he's directly benefiting, and that violates the clause in the Constitution that prohibits that. And then this is – what's your reaction to that? Because I've got a – I'm betwixt and between, but I'll let you react first.
He is benefiting because he's... I think my feeling is if the... So I have this thought about all this stuff, which is if somebody wants to make a generous donation to the Clinton Foundation, then they should be able to make a generous donation to the Clinton Foundation. If I then find out that Bill's getting $500,000 to make a speech in their at their city walk the following day, then it makes me kind of go, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? And if I find out, I don't have any problem with somebody going to somebody's business, even if the president is the business and they own it and they pay a standard rate and they do whatever hotels do and they check out and they get charged $18 service charge or entertainment charge or whatever it is. But if you find out that people are coming in and paying 10 times the rate as the place next door and dropping off tons of cash and being awarded big contracts for conventions or something like that, then it feels like a pay-for-play kind of situation. So to me, as long as everything is within the realm of whatever the going rate is for a room, whatever it costs for a convention, whatever, as long as everything, and there doesn't seem to be folks funneled that direction without, they're not profiting on the position of president or secretary of state or whatever that is, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling. First of all, how do you divest yourself of a business organization that you're the second or third generation? It's actually a third generation business, which has evolved into a licensing of your name.
Basically. Obama had that water park and no one said shit. Six Flags over Kenya. Did you guys go there? There's no water in it. It's kind of bummer going down the thing with the sand. Scratch my ass good on that, but he was still able to collect those profits.
I don't know. I think you would. Building on yours, I think unless he's getting daily reports from Ivanka that show, or from one of his sons that show that who the person is who's paying. You know, I get daily reports from hotels, and right. I get to see, if I want to dive into the manager's report, I could see who it is that's staying at the hotel. And then if I see United Arab Emirates, repeatedly, and they're paying, my bonus rates or something right. like that, and you can prove that, I think there may be a problem with that. But kind of stuff.
You have to find something. If it's just your business and you had the business before you became the president or whatever, and now it's still business as usual, then fine. Because first off, we have now weeded out all the non-professional politicians. And I don't like all the career politicians. I don't think it's a great thing. I like it when people are in the private sector and do things in the private sector. And you may disagree with many of Trump's things. But in general, I like a guy who is a developer or who ran a whatever company, and now that he or she is now throwing their hat in the ring in politics, because I always believe it gives them a little sense of how things work and how to margins and making payroll every month and so on and so forth. I like that history versus I was the school board leader in Pasadena and then I worked my way up to district selectman. Like you have a rich history of just spending other people's money. You don't have any history of creating your own money.
I've always said this about prosecutors, and for 35 years before Trump was even considered to be a politician, I've always said that the problem with government, and I always equate government with the prosecution. I mean, that's just the way I was, that's my small sliver of life. The problem is they've never made most of them have never met a payroll, because until you meet a payroll and understand that comes hell or high water every 2 weeks, in some cases, some of my entities every week, you don't know what it's like. And nobody quite understands what it's like to have to deal with a payroll when it comes and do it repeatedly. I mean, that is, it's a drip, drip, drip that goes on 52, sometimes 53 weeks a year, every year for eternity. And that doesn't matter. The business cycle doesn't matter. You fall off a cliff in 2008. That doesn't matter. People aren't going to say, I'm not going to cash my check, Mark. I know it was a slow month. They want their money and they become irate if they don't get their money. So unless you understand that kind of pressure, I don't think that you should be in a position where you're spending governmental resources, and I used to argue this with prosecutors, and this is a function of what we talk about, that if you want to solve some of the criminal justice issues, give them a budget, because, boy, it certainly would affect how things are decided. Give them a budget and tell them, that's it. Okay, it may not be your money, but you don't have an inexhaustible supply.
Well, you can look up the, I don't know if it's Milton Friedman or whatever, but the, and I'll paraphrase here, but the most efficient spending of money is you on you. The person who earns it, spends it on themselves, is the most efficient. The second most efficient is you on somebody else.
Right.
Meaning I earn the money, but I'm buying my kids a bicycle or something. That's the second. The worst is you didn't earn it and you're not spending it on you, which is basically what politicians do.
Right.
I'm not in charge of earning it and I'm not in charge of the benefits or the welfare or the new school, whatever it is. So it's other people's money on other people's project. Think about how fast that efficiency falls through the fucking basement floor.
There is no floor. It can't be. It just can't be. If you don't appreciate what it takes to get the revenue in, then you can't talk to me about the expenses.
So I agree with you, and I agree with me. Now, maybe Trump is an extreme, but in general, I want somebody who has a business background, who started a business, who made payroll, who not only made payroll, but all of the compromises that go along the way. Hey, people want time off. They want leave. They want pay. They want a raise. They want a company car, whatever it is. And it's a constant sort of balancing act of, well, you're not going to get the company car, but I will give you the paid leave for the blah, 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 blah. It's just
right. That
you have to live, essentially, you have to live in the real world. And I want that brought in, he or she, to the White House. And you got to negotiate with other countries, you have to negotiate with other politicians.
I literally want it in all aspects of government. I don't limit it to the White House. I don't understand why an attorney general, for instance, who runs the justice system in the Department of Justice, why that should be some career, why it would be admirable to have a career prosecutor or a career lawyer who never ran anything. I don't get that. I don't understand it.
Well, I'm going to tease one last question for you, which is, Trump last week was talking about lifting the security clearances for some of the folks that are just on the bandwagon, and Clapper and some of these other Comey and all these folks that are just on there showing up. Well, they now are employed by some of these news agencies and they're using their expertise to tear Trump another asshole. And I don't know what they're using in terms of what knowledge they're gaining by having a in good standing security clearance, but he wants them lifted. Now, I understand sort of both sides of this, or I feel like I've heard both sides of it, and I think it's probably Trump being baited into something he should just move on from. I also understand that if I turn on the TV and someone's talking shit about me all the time and I was the boss, I'd be like, fucking take that guy's parking spot away, would you?
You'd go all Chris Christie and shut down the bridge.
Shut down the bridge. So, but I'm curious. I want to tease it, but I want thoughts on that security clearance thing. And what it means. First, I'll tell you about TheraWorks, as I told you before, relief one more time. If you're one of the millions who suffer from muscle cramps in your legs, feet, relief is finally in sight. It is TheraWorks, with an X, relief. Topical foam, very light, very easy, very moussey. Have some right here.
Hey, look at that.
In front of me. You just work it on.
I thought that was Cheese Whiz, but it looks just like it is TheraWorks.
TheraWorks Relief goes on very easily, rubs in, absorbs very nicely, no big after smell or slick pool of slippery stuff on you. Now, you don't even need a prescription. Just minutes, it absorbs quickly, and it really works. Dr. Drew is all about this stuff, and he doesn't like putting his name on stuff that doesn't work. So TheraWorks.
No, it's absolutely true, by the way.
Relief today. You can get it at select CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens pharmacies, or TheraWorks Relief. Just ask your pharmacist about TheraWorks with an X, Relief. All right, so last question of the day for you, Mark. Lifting security clearances. Where are we at?
He's not going to get anywhere with that. But there is, once again, and this is something that's happened twice in my career,
He's not going to get anywhere.
He's not going to get anywhere with that.
Why doesn't somebody tell him in advance he's not going to get anywhere? Or does he just want the message out there?
He wants the message out there, obviously. I mean, I'll give you the example writ small that I went through. I mean, the government told me at one point back 10 years ago in a case where the second highest, back in 2007 or 8, where they had indicted the second highest guy in the CIA. And my client was the contractor. And the government insisted that I get a security clearance in order to defend my client. I said, my client's not in the CIA. He did business with the government. And by the way, last time I looked, this is a courthouse that was paid for by the taxpayers. And you can't tell me that I got to get a security clearance in order to represent my client. And the judge at first agreed with me. And then the government went running in after that and showed him stuff and convinced him that I had to get a security clearance or I couldn't continue to represent my client. And so they did that. My client said, I want Mark Garagus. That's the lawyer I've got. He's the lawyer that I want. But I was removed from that particular case. When it went up to the Ninth Circuit, rather than let it decide, they just dismissed the case against my client because that would have been the worst opinion of all time. Can you imagine telling the lawyer who has been retained that you've got to get a security clearance, otherwise you can't defend your client? And my point always was, if you're going to show me evidence that exculpates my client, then what are you going to tell me? Okay, now you've seen it. This comes full circle to the protective order. You've seen it, but you can't use it, and you got it, and we've muzzled you. And plus, I found it offensive that the government had to pass, or I had to go get cleared by the same government that's prosecuting my client. I find that inherently offensive as well.
Well, you will find whether it's the law or the legal system or Department of Building and Safety, when somebody gets to make all the rules. They tend to err on their side a lot.
Yeah. Like, if they becomes a fiefdom. I mean, they just decide, I'm going to be my little Napoleon and my little, France, and I'm going to rule with by fiat.
Yes. And when it comes time to make decisions, they go, traffic school. Let's see. You pay the ticket. And then you pay to go to traffic school. And then you can go to traffic school. And you go, I thought traffic school was I would either pay the ticket or go to traffic school. Yeah, that's the way it was. But then we thought about it. And we decided.
In our infinite wisdom, because we've never met a payroll, we don't understand what it is to have a budget or what people who work and live paycheck to paycheck have to exist with.
I always love when Santa Monica would go, hey, look, hey, banks, the people took a vote and they decided that $3 was too much to use an ATM, so you're going to have to lower it, all right? I always want to go, okay, hey, we took a vote on parking tickets, Santa Monica. So we're using your logic. We've decided that $78 is a fucking raving. We like it more at $3 to $7. Right. So but anyway, the people have spoken. They've spoken, right? So you're big fans of people speaking, right? So we spoke. We took a vote. I could find hardly anyone that wanted to raise the price of the parking tickets.
Exactly.
Everyone said $78 was way too much for being in a 20-minute drop-off zone for 30 minutes. So anyway, B of A will not raise the price of their ATM because the people have spoken. But keep listening because the people have spoken about parking tickets. Now,
I hear you,
my feeling is it's one way or the other.
Right.
Either you stay the fuck out of the B of A's business and shut up, or we're going to use your logic, which is the people have spoken, but we're going to factor in many other things as well, and you're not going to like it.
Well, this is for next week's show. I'll be able to tell you, I'll regale you with my battle with the city of L.A. about Figueroa Avenue. So we'll just leave it there.
Tripped over a homeless guy leaving my thing. I literally got into last night a physical, confrontation with a homeless guy that was sleeping on the porch of my warehouse as Oscar De La Hoya and a bunch of other notables were leaving a production that we did, where I said, speaking of this horrible city. Oh, you got the Milton Friedman quote, by the way?
Yeah,
sorry,
sure do.
Real quick.
There are four ways in which you can spend money. You can spend your own money on yourself. When you do that, Why, then you really watch out for what you're doing and you try to get the most for your money. Then you can spend your own money on somebody else. For example, I buy a birthday present for someone. Well, then I'm not so careful about the content of the present, but I'm very careful about the cost. Then I can spend somebody else's money on myself. And if I spend somebody else's money on myself, then I'm sure going to have a good lunch. Finally, I can spend somebody else's money on somebody else. And if I spend somebody else's money on somebody else, I'm not concerned about how much it is. I'm not concerned about what I get. And that's government. And that's close to 40% of our national income.
All right. So, wow. Of course. Homeless guy wouldn't move. And it was literally like squared off. And he was taking swipes at me on the sidewalk. And people were trying to exit the building. Women and kids and workers there, the video, and the guy got up, and the guy, my kids were crying, and the guy was cussing at me, and he was like taking swings, he got up on his feet, and it was total insanity.
Gary
was not there. They had a whole crew of people. He came at me at a certain point. Now my daughter's standing behind me, my daughter's crying. He's taking swipes at my arm. My daughter's screaming behind me. We're standing out in the street. And this is what it's come to, everybody. I'm calling 911 because he's refused to move. And I have people coming in and out of the building. And they're tripping over him, laying on the stoop where the front door is. It's an awesome... And by the way, he's somehow the hero in this equation. I don't know. I'd like to check the tax records and see who paid in more last year. I bet I nipped him by at least 5%.
And I love the fact he's on your property.
I said, look, just pick up and move. You can move to another doorway on my property that's not being used. Because I got about 30 people in the production crew leaving this door, and I don't want them tripping over you. And he told me to fuck myself. That's awesome. All right. So we'll see you in hell as soon as our handbasket arrives. You can go to adamcarolla.com and check out all the live shows. Pasadena Ice House with Dr. Drew coming up on August 29th, September 13th. Seattle Moore Theater with Adam Ray. Live shows everywhere. Go to adamcarolla.com. Mark, what do you got?
I got Capri Southampton. This weekend is going to be spectacular there, I'm told. Palm Springs, we've got, we're putting up all the firefighters and evacuees this weekend from the Cranston fire. And we've got Casa Tropicana, so you can go over there, or Mediterranean Tapas at 10E, or Engine Company at LAX, or downtown LA, or Prova Pizza at the Grand Central Station.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.